The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
There we go, and there's going to be some people that are going to be wanting to find some religion on the 21st, maybe Tuesday, hopefully some ex-politicians and some deep staters.
Yeah, they have a lot to atone for.
Oh, boy.
They've got some stuff that is staring them in the face.
I tell you what, I hope we don't get our hopes up too high because, he was going to prosecute Hillary, and then he decided it wasn't good for the country. And we might have our hopes up that he's really going to clean house and put them all in the hooscow.
Well, I've been saying it on our show, and I said on Carl's show, that though he won, I'm not overly positive. I don't think he's learned a whole lot. I mean, I think he's a little – I mean, obviously we didn't get Kamel, thank God. But, I mean, recently he supported Mike Johnson to be speaker. And I think that was an efficiency thing. And the first thing Mike Johnson did was kick out Massey from a high-ranking thing as a retribution. That's not a good sign for Trump.
Well, we've got a clip coming up about Mike Johnson. I guess we just will play it pretty quick. And he exposes something about Joe Biden that is quite telling. Are you ready with that clip? We are.
I do stand by it, and I say this without any personal animus at all. I mean, in some ways, I actually kind of feel sorry for Joe Biden. I mean, he's in the twilight years of his life. He is not, obviously, has not been in charge for some time. And I know this by personal observation, and now the whole world knows it. And it's been very, very concerning to me over the last, year and a half since I've had this position.
Can you tell us a story when you say personal observation?
It's public now because the Wall Street Journal got it and put it on the front page. But January a year ago, almost exactly a year ago, I became speaker in October 2023, and there were all sorts of big national security concerns and everything going on, and I started requesting a meeting with the president because, I'm kind of old school. I'm a constitutional law guy. Speaker of the House should be able to talk to the president, especially in times of great national interest and calamity. But they wouldn't let me meet with him, and his staff kept giving him excuses. This went on for like 8 or 9 weeks. I'm sorry, Mr. Speaker, he doesn't have time. What are you talking about? I'm second in line of the presidency. He has time. I need to talk to him. I can't say the classified parts, but we had some big, big national concerns at the time that I was losing sleep over. Finally, I just went to the Hill Press Corps and I said, the president is not being allowed to meet with the speaker. There's a problem. So they started putting pressure on him. Long story short, they finally relented. They invited me to the White House. I show up and I realize it's actually an ambush because it's not just me and the president. It's also Kamala Harris, Chuck Schumer, Hakeem, the CIA director, everybody. And then, so I walked in the Oval and, I know what this is. This is they're going to hotbox the speaker on Ukraine funding. That's what it was. This is probably third week of January. We sit down, we're in the midst of it, and the whole conversation, and I'm going, we don't need to have this conversation. The president reaches over just like this. We're sitting in the right next to the fireplace in the Oval, and he grabs my arm and he says, the speaker and I just need a couple minutes together. Will y'all just leave us alone? And I looked up on the faces of some of the staff standing around the wall, and they're like, no, he did it. So he called it. He's the commander-in-chief. So everybody leaves, and he and I are standing awkwardly in the middle of the Oval Office right over the rug by that coffee table. And I said, Mr. President, thanks for the moments. This is very important. I got some big national security things I need to talk to you about that I've heard and I think you know, and what do we do? But first, real quickly, Mr. President, can I ask you a question? I cannot answer this from my constituents in Louisiana. Sir, why did you pause LNG exports to Europe? Like, I don't understand. Liquefied natural gas is in great demand by our allies. Why would you do that? Because you understand, we just talked about Ukraine. You understand you're fueling Vladimir Putin's war machine because they got to get their gas from him. And he looks at me stunned with this, and he said, I didn't do that. And I said, Mr. President, yes, you did. It was an executive order, 3 weeks ago. And he goes, no, I didn't do that. And he's arguing with me. I said, Mr. President, respectfully, can I could I go out here and ask your secretary to print it out? We'll read it together. You definitely did that. And he goes, oh, you talk about natural gas. Yes, sir. He said, you misunderstand. He said, what I did is I signed this thing to, we're gonna conduct a study on the effects of LNG. I said, no, you're not, sir. You paused it. I know. I have the terminal, the export terminal, in my state. I talked to those people this morning. This is doing massive damage to our economy, national security. It occurred to me, Barry, he was not lying to me. He genuinely did not know what he had signed. And I walked out of that meeting with fear and loathing because I thought, we're in serious trouble. Who is running the country? Like, I don't know who put the paper in front of him, but he didn't know.
And there you have it. That convinces me Barack Obama is behind all this. You take a look at the people they put on that administration. Joe Biden doesn't even remember what he had for breakfast. They've just made a fool out of us, and they're just crumbling our country.
Well, that proves to me that I was right. Mike Johnson is a piece of crap. If he knew this a year ago, why didn't he make holy hell and high water and bring that out and do that? No, he waits. Here we are this year, and now all of a sudden he's going to talk about it because the Wall Street Journal brought it up. If he was in that room and that actually happened, why didn't he make holy hell? And this is the same guy that tried to put in the omnibus bill that was going to fund tons and millions and billions and billions and hundreds of billions of woke ideas. I'm not a fan of Johnson. Since the beginning, I'm not. And when he got rid of Massey, who I think really is probably the best member of Congress, from a high ranking thing as a punishment because Massey didn't support his reelection, Trump's not going to do what they think he's going to do, in my opinion. But before we go any further, Nick, welcome to the Poke the Hornet's Nest, everybody. Nick didn't even go there. He's always first to scream and holler and howl like a banshee. And so Nick Gardner, Doug Jahnke, Poke the Hornet's Nest. Now back to the regularly scheduled program, Nick.
Let's see. Where are we? KCNR, 1460.com, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You don't need the phone number because we're not taking calls.
Carl, are you happy? There you go.
Well, let's talk about that fire. I think the fires are a terrorist attack. I think we've had numerous terrorist attacks. We got that battery fire at Moss Landing.
Interesting, huh?
Oh, gosh, and I was watching it on a computer. It's just a TV screen, and they were showing pictures from 3 miles away, and the fire's shooting up in the air. They haven't got any idea how to put it out.
You can't. You can't put it out.
And they're going to come and write me a ticket for burning trash in my backyard, dead wood and stuff, because it's over, 4 feet in circumference.
Well, for all you idiot green scam people who think that this is saving the world, the amount of damage that's being done by the toxic chemicals coming out of those battery plants is phenomenal. Far exceeds anything being done by the burning of fossil fuels.
Oh, it's probably going to be unbelievable. They won't even report the pollution that this fire is going to cause.
Oh, no. I mean, and I'm sure, like, you know, in where was the train derailment? There's going to be health issues for years to come that'll just be mysteriously, oh, we don't know what the cause is. But, yeah, that lithium, once it gets lighted, that's why they're not supposed to be air quotes on airplanes is once they get lit, it is almost impossible to put them out until they finish themselves.
And I bet we'll never know the honest answer how that started. I bet you it's terrorist. What a nice place to have a fire.
And what a perfect time. All of our resources are down south trying to put out that disaster, and now we've got this big thing that they've just literally got to let burn. It's got to burn itself out.
And it's just south of San Francisco. It's in Santa Clara.
Well, it's not going to be put out anytime soon. The toxic chemicals that they're going to find.
Do you think maybe conservatives might have started to thin out the herd down there?
No. You know, that's the problem with us conservatives is, you know, we loathe liberals, but we let them live. Liberals loathe us and try to control our lives. That's the big difference. So even though we don't agree with what they've got, we're not going to go and damage them. That's my opinion.
So I've got this little deal I read just on the way here. About the fire in Palisades. The city council passed a budget this year providing $1.3 billion for homeless. At the same time, they cut the fire department by $17 million. The LA City Council consists of two-thirds Democrat, one-third Democrat Socialist, and zero Republicans.
Well, that's a good mix.
Oh, yes. It uses the homeless problem as an excuse to implement far-left agenda, which includes rent controls, tenant eviction protections, mansion taxes, free basic income, reparations, sanctuary laws, and free housing for all. The city leaders' basic services that provide Angelo's care about, like firefighting, is the bottom on their priority. A recent study on the West Side Current found L.A. had acquired 2,750 housing units, condos, apartments, hotels, rooms, costs close to $1 billion. One of the buildings purchased for $36.6 million still had an active website advertising luxury apartments featuring spacious, modern, elegant, sweeping views of L.A. The units feature balconies, rooftop decking, stunning views of Hollywood. They purchased it at double what they cut the fire department.
Oh, there you go. Allocation of funds.
And she says, well, this gal says, the homeless started the fire. The L.A. Fire Department reports that 54% of the fires started are by homeless. They reported they responded to 14,000 fires last year. The Pacific Palisades fire was directly started by a homeless person. The extent of the destruction fire can be attributed to the homeless because of all of the resources that go to them. She spends 80% of her time. An L.A. City Council person reported she spends 80% of her time on L.A.'s homeless problem. That means all the other problems are getting neglected.
And there's plenty.
And they shut down that reservoir that was going to contribute to the water to the fire for repairs. What was it? Well, quite a while ago. The total cost of the repairs was $130,000.
And that only going to cost us about $25 billion. Nice investment. Good job, Newsom.
And in her neighborhood,
yeah,
they had fire. She's right there where it started. In her neighborhood, they had water. They saved 80% of the houses. And then they ran out of water, and the neighborhoods lost 100% of their houses.
Yeah. Well, you know, the funny thing is, I was watching that interview with, I think her name is Crowley, the fire chief, and the reporter asked her, well, did you know that your reservoir, you know, the reservoir had no water? And she just looked, you could see the disgust on her face. No, we were not informed. And so, you know, again, there you go. You just lit off a litany of liberal stupidity of all those priorities that you just listed, you know.
You know what the disgust on her face was for? Because he had the gall to ask that, to bring that up.
No, it was a lady asking her. She was having, and actually, that's where Crowley got herself in a bit of hot water. She was being honest about her assessment of the mayor and the city council, and that raised some holy hell because she was being honest about how disgusted she was and the whole thing. But when the reporter asked her, did you know the reservoir was empty? The fire chief of L.A. said, no, we were never informed. And I'm telling you, Nick, I'm a conspiracy theorist because every time that I think this is a conspiracy, it comes true. So I'll say this. There's too many things that have come into play at the exact same time down there that are just too optimistic. I mean, you've got the timing of the fire, the fact we've got 6,000 plus terrorists in our country. You've got an empty reservoir. You've got funding cuts to the fire. I don't think there's any accident here, to be honest with you. I have no doubt that this is not some accident. And I feel sorry for the folks, but I'm going to bring it local. I want the local people to – let me get my phone fired up here. Because here's something that if you're in the state of California, this is what you get to look forward to. And this is just a snippet of an article that I read. A spokesman for the FAIR Plan said it's too early to determine if an assessment will be sought as claims are just beginning to be submitted and processed. Because of the rule change, so that last year, Lara, the human piece of crap that is our commissioner, made a rule change that this is what it's going to do. So for us in the North State, listen up. Because of the rule change made last year by the state's embattled insurance commissioner, Ricardo Lara, companies can add their customers' bills 50% of the first $1 billion. So half a billion is going to get added to our premiums. And 100% of the amount over $1 billion in payouts. So up here, folks, get ready. We are already getting completely screwed by the insurance situation. I mean, it's because Lara has done such a bad job, another liberal. But now those damages down there, they're going to be allowed to add $500 million of claims onto our insurance policies to pay for it. And once their claims go over $1 billion, they can add the 100% to our premiums to rebuild their coffers. So just know, our insurance, if it's expensive already, is going to get more expensive. So there you go.
Chris Green, let's see, mountaintoptimes.substack. He came out with an article, and he figured it was going to cost everybody that has a homeowner insurance $5,200.
Well, and that's very
per
possible.
Year.
Yeah, it's very possible.
Maybe
yeah.
more.
I mean, I'm in escrow as a listing agent on a house here in the city limits of Reading. It backs up to a green belt. And when the buyer made the first made the offer, their quote for in the city limits, newer house, you know, 2000s, $10,000.
Oh, geez.
$10,000. Now, they got it down to, I think, $6,000. But $6,000, add $5,000 to that. That's what we're possibly looking at here, folks, if Chris Street's right.
Yes.
So that those fires down there, they're dramatically going to impact what our costs could be up here. So just get prepared for it. And if our state was not so badly liberal, and liberals, you can't hide. You have the legislator, you have the governor, you have a lot of the major cities. They're your disasters. Those are your people. Stand up proud and wave your hand that you guys are evil and everything you guys do is bad. And we are now going to start having genuine financial impact up here in the North State from insurance premiums because of that fire down there.
Except for the government workers. We'll just give them a raise.
Well, yeah.
You know, I touched on how much Barry Tippin and some of the guys were making around here.
Yeah.
Costing the taxpayers, you know, over, I think there was 13 over $400,000 a year total.
Yeah.
Just before I left home, I clicked Transparent California and hit Los Angeles County, and I was looking for that gal that is in charge of water. She's making $750,000. I wanted to see what her total.
She's doing a great job.
I couldn't find her because there were people above her. There's people in Los Angeles County costing their taxpayers over $1 million a year with their wages, their benefits, their overtimes, and I mean a bunch of them.
Well, when you look into Transparent California, I think it's Transparent, is it .gov or .com?
.com.
.com. That's actually the published salaries of public employees. And it's amazing how many retirees are making over $1 million in total compensation as a public employee. Let that sink in.
Oh, yes.
Let that sink in, folks.
Yes, Mike Warren. Let's see. I clicked on Modi the other day. He's getting $204,000 a year.
Yeah. He was so good. He deserved it.
Yes. And let's see. Mike Warren, I think he's the top dog. Although there's some people. You know, we're supporting 5 ex-police chiefs right now.
I believe that.
That, you know, theirs is up there quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, you know, it used to be that when you went to work for the government, the trade-off was you had not low pay, but lower rank pay, but you had a guaranteed job with insurance and some benefits. Now, the cow is the government. Go to work for the government.
What started it is Jerry Brown let the public employees unionize.
Yep.
And then they went to the defined pension plan, and they invested, and somehow they've got a rule in there: if they lose their rear ends on their investments, us taxpayers have to make it up because they have a defined.
Well, yeah, because when Brown was in there, he signed a I think it's a constitutional amendment in California that the PERS system is a guaranteed 7.5% rate of return. Wouldn't you like that to be guaranteed on your stuff?
Oh, yeah. Hey, we're going to go to a clip, number one. This is the supervisors meeting, the last supervisors meeting. It was quite interesting, and they have calmed down. But we've got one of the recall people lecturing the three new guys on what he expects from them. So are you ready with that, Dave?
Continue to do it. Jeff Gorder, Laura Hobbs, Patty Plum, followed by Casey, followed by Thomas H.
Good morning, Board. I missed the last meeting, so I didn't have an opportunity to welcome Supervisors Harmon, Plummer, and Long to this board. Many of us are excited to see you take your seats. We're looking forward to a less divisive atmosphere. We're looking for the three of you to lead that change. That's, Mr. Harmon, I do want to say that's why it was so disappointing to me and many of us that you voted to continue Chair Cry in his leadership role and with Mr. Kellstrom as the second. You know, you ran on the idea that new blood was needed. I mean, Mary Rickert was the experienced one, but you said new blood was needed. And that's what we needed here. We didn't need the old experience. These two, along with Mr. Jones, were the ones that were responsible for most of the division. It wasn't Ms. Rickert. It wasn't Mr. Garman. It was those three.
Okay, so there you have it. First off, he's wrong. Chris Kellstrom made the motion and Kevin Christ seconded it. He can't get things straight very well. But he's up there. In my opinion, he's threatening Corky Harmon that we can recall you. And we want you to bring civility back to the meetings. Well, the only ones
that were uncivilized were the liberal recall people.
And he's the leader.
Yep.
He's the leader.
Talk about calling the kettle black.
That's playbook. That playbook.
Exactly. I said it. Rules for radicals. You accuse your enemy of what you're doing, and this is nothing new. That's the great thing about liberals is they're not terribly smart. They're not terribly smart. There's a book that you can read. Any one of us can read. It's called Rules for Radicals, Saul Alinsky. Read it.
This guy was a prosecuting attorney. Then he took over and was the head, of the public defender's office. He's the epitome of that old saying, do you know when a liar's lying?
Yeah.
His lips are moving. He moved up here from the Bay Area. He'd soiled his nest down there, and he's up here soiling ours.
Well, that's what liberals do. They got to make sure that everybody's miserable because they're miserable in their life.
But, you know, I haven't got anything bad to say about Plummer or Allen.
I don't know enough about those guys.
I think they lean quite liberal, but, you know, they're intelligent. They ask good questions. And it looks to me like they're willing to listen and find some common ground, and let's talk this out. Kevin made the comment that he had had more conversation with people that oppose his views than he had in 2 years. Meaning, you know, these guys are willing to talk. Mary and Tim wouldn't talk about nothing. It's their way or the highway.
Yep.
Let's finish up that clip now.
You know, so I'm hopeful you'll be the independent thinker and the rational decision maker that you've said you're going to be. You have to walk the talk, and I'm open. I'm hopeful that that will occur. I'm open-minded. One thing to keep in mind, you know, Jones ran on the platform that if you like the way things are going in the county, vote for me. And Jones was absolutely crushed by Mr. Plummer. It was a landslide victory. People were not happy. Mr. Long defeated Mr. Jones's ally, Laura Hobbs, in a crushing manner. Mr. Cry narrowly defeated the recall by 50 votes. We know that if Newsom was not the issue, he would not be here. If the decider of his replacement was the board, Mr. Cry would be gone. I hope you will keep all that in mind, that it's a change. The people want change. We don't want the same old, same old. And I'm looking to you three to bring that change. Thank you.
It looks to me like he brought the same old, same old. But I want to point out what he said about Long crushing Laura Hobbs. Long won a simple majority, not a simple majority, 50% plus one. It was either 6 or 7 or 15 votes over the 50% in the March primary. That means they don't go to a runoff.
Yep.
He was running as, in my opinion, one liberal against three conservatives. So the conservative vote was split up.
Yep.
If he hadn't got that 50% and they went to a runoff in November, I can't say he would have won or she would have won, but it had certainly been a contest, and it wouldn't have been a crushing.
Well, and there was ballot irregularities with Laura Hobbs' ballots, where on part of them she was at the top of the ballot based on, I think it's alphabetics or something like that, and then the other stuff. And old Kathy knew
the ballots were wrong and misprinted, and she didn't correct it. So I'm not even sure that, in fact, he won anyways, but it was just there were some ballot issues, and that's what she went to court on. And no judge, there's no judge with a backbone that'll take on one of these election cases because they don't want to be the one that gets, you know, death threats from the liberals because the conservatives don't issue death threats. It's just not happening.
Well, it's absolutely clear to me that the decisive people are thinning out. We've only got three or four of the recallers that keep coming in. I look back at Tim Hill, you know, he came in and he was all over Kevin Cry at the start of the recall, and all of a sudden he's not there anymore. I think he probably figured out that these guys are full of crap.
Yeah.
And you go to the meetings, and the speakers that are mega conservative, they're respectful, they don't use foul language.
Mm-hmm.
Some of their topics get old here and over again, but, you know, that's their right and they're respectful of it. We're going to go to a break. See you on the other side.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243 CT Redding.
Are you ready to roll the dice and hit it big? Get down to Wind River Resort and Casino and take your shot at the brand new craps table.
Feel the excitement, the thrill,
the rush.
Whether you're a seasoned player or just getting started, craps has something for everyone.
Pass line,
card wave.
Come hit your point and win big.
Roll in to Wind River Resort and Casino today.
Your luck starts here.
For complete details, see windriver.com or call 1-800-280-UWIN.
Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Everybody has been dealing with the availability of homeowners insurance in Northern California. Companies not writing your home insurance anymore are leaving the state altogether. Siskiyou Insurance has hired a specialist specifically for dealing with a homeowners crisis here in Shasta County. He specializes in what the market is doing, coverages, and which companies may be able to help. Call Brian Dews at Siskiyou Insurance Services for your home or auto consultation. Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
At Greg's Pump and Well Service, we believe integrity is the cornerstone of everything we do. This month, we proudly salute our armed forces and first responders, those who embody true service, dedication, and integrity. When you choose us for your pump and well needs, you're choosing a company that shares those same values. Thank you for your service. Let us serve you with pride. 530-282-5395. Call us at 530-282-5395, license 109-0355.
Yo, Mayor Bass, let's turn it. Climate change, baby. Lots of climate change, baby. All right, light, evacuate and listen. Gavin's here and the mayor is missing. Scorched earth and the flames burn brightly. Breathing lots of smoke in daily and nightly. Will it ever stop? Hell no. Turn off the hydrants and let it grow. I say to smelt fish and you peasants got zero. Blame it on Trump and make me the hero. Trans, speculators come soon. Torching LA with a land grab harpoon. Migrants, lighting fire so gently while insurance companies cancel all their policies. Diversity, equity, inclusion all day. Trying to stop the blaze but the fire truck's gay. If it weren't for the Olympics, World Cup, and Super Bowl, you peasants might still have a home to go to. Uh-huh. Lots of climate change, baby. Oh. DEI hire lady, yeah. Climate change, baby, yeah. Yo, I need to make some more excuses. Vote for Gavin Newsom.
That was a meme video that was sent to me, and it shows Gavin dancing around with the mayor of L.A. in the background, and I just think that
that kind of sums up that guy and his group and you liberals blame everything on climate change, which there is absolutely zero proof that it exists. If you go back, the way they make climate change exist, guys, is they go back to like 1970 or 1965. And there's some variations in a short window. But if you open it up to 100 or 150 years, there's not that big of a variation. And as a matter of fact, there's times in geological history where our atmosphere was way denser with carbon dioxide. And it thrived, and it was kind of a tropical paradise. And so when I saw that video, I wanted to share it with you just because that's exactly how these people keep saying, oh, this is all about climate change. No, it's about bad management. And hopefully Doug LaMalfa, he ripped Newsom at Congress. Hopefully he can get Trump to open up our forest for logging, that we can now start cleaning these places up. So there you go. Welcome back. Nick.
Tell us about Jeff.
Jeff, I just thought, you know, after hearing how much you really wanted to make sure that, you know, the people wanted change, just a reminder, you lost. You lost locally. You lost in the national elections. The only reason that we didn't lose in the state election, because California's stupid liberal blue south of us, but up here in the north state, you lost. So stop talking about how you think you speak for the majority. You're outnumbered 2-1 in conservative versus liberal, or I should say Democrat voters. Stop talking like you're speaking for me, Nick, and the others. You're not.
I am
glad that Kevin Cry is back at the chair. Absolutely.
I imagine you'd be welcome back where you came from. You might consider a bus. Hey,
Matt, there's probably a battery factory down there you could go work for.
Absolutely. I was at a function, and Police Chief Barner gave a presentation, and he spoke about a program, Journey Home program, that the police is administrating.
Yeah.
And they don't have to have somebody waiting for them. If a homeless guy walks up and says, I want to go to Albuquerque,
he's got a ticket.
One-way ticket. So I called up the police, and I wanted to get his permission to mention that.
Yeah.
And it's actually run through the Journey Home program for the Goodwill Rescue Mission. And I guess now they're not requiring family waiting at the other end.
Oh, okay. Well, that was on Joe Wong's program, which I think, you know, Joe did a great job with that. You know, I think he spent $1 million when it was said
and done. Yeah.
So I like that. So I'm going to do a quick program diversion here, Nick.
Go ahead.
First off, we've got a new listener out in Oklahoma City. Keith, welcome to the show. And locally, Adam and Heather have joined us. But, folks, I ate there the other day, and I just wanted to share it. I don't get paid. There's no discount. Santa Maria Barbecue Grill in Red Bluff. It's right there across from Taco Bell. Excellent. Santa Maria type barbecue, smoked oak, tri-tip and stuff. I got to say, and they had this cream corn with lime and cilantro and cojita cheese. So if you guys are out and about in Red Bluff, Santa Maria Grill, it's I highly recommend it. It's been in business 6 months, and it was stacked when we were there. So excellent place to go. Go eat there.
You know, I've been considering a vacation, and I was torn between Cottonwood and Red Bluff. That just convinces me. I'll go on vacation to Red Bluff.
So back to our regularly scheduled program. I thought I'd just give a little plug to that restaurant because it was so good.
Well, Police Chief Mike Johnson, not Police Chief,
Sheriff,
County Sheriff Mike Johnson, has a new plan.
He has a couple of them.
But it's the old plan. Just named
different. Yeah.
Let's play his first clip. He presented it at the supervisors' meeting. You can go to the supervisors' meeting and listen to the whole thing. It starts at about 1 hour mark. Just go to ShastaCountySupervisors.com and you'll find it. Look around. It's not too hard. Let's play that clip now, please.
So I told you this is not a presentation to ask for a new jail or expanding the jail. I'm probably going to hear me repeat that at least once or twice again in this presentation because people seem to misinterpret some things that I say sometimes. So I want to make that clear. What this is a presentation for is a corrections and rehabilitation campus. So what I feel we need to do is put in something immediately where we can send offenders to and hold them accountable. And that immediate fix is sending them to an alternative custody program. We currently run an alternative custody program off of Breslauer. It's very successful, but it is not to the capacity or the efficiency that we need. We need to expand it to be able to handle a lot of these people that are going to be sentenced. If we don't do something, and I'm not pushing you to say that this is the end-all option, but I will tell you this, if we don't do something and come up with something, we as law enforcement, we as a criminal justice system, and we sit on our hands, I will be releasing people left and right with no consequence and no accountability. That's the fact. We have a jail full of felons. I've been surveying my fellow sheriffs, and I've got about 20 of them surveyed so far, and I could tell you, we are one of two jails only that do not house misdemeanors because we're full. Us in Siskiyou County are in the same predicament. The rest are not. So we need to come up with something. And this is it. So a little brief overview of the alternative custody program. It's a program that allows qualified offenders who have time to serve to live at home and report to work facility and perform various public service work. The Sheriff's Office provides alternatives to incarceration that benefit not only the offender, but the community and local organizations. It allows families to stay together and the offender to pay their financial obligations at the same time pay their debt to the community and do some public service work. Currently...
Okay, so what this is in reference to is Proposition 36 that passed that makes your third misdemeanor punishable by going to jail. You know, it kind of offsets what was at Proposition 49. He did say the ones that they can make a felony and send to state prison for 2 years, they want to make a priority to make sure their felonies are not going to drop them down to misdemeanors. But we've got a ton
of... Well, that's going to require Stephanie Bridget to actually do her job. And, I mean, that lady should resign in disgrace. I mean, I've been told that there's a report coming out that's very damning, especially during the election year. Apparently, there was millions of dollars for her budget, and the number of prosecutions dropped by half. And now you have this situation where the DA's office is talking about that we don't have enough judges. Well, Commie Newsom appointed two liberal crap judges to our local judge courtship. And so we got two extra judges. She didn't prosecute 50% of the things in 2022, and yet we're being told that it's because we don't have enough judges, even though we have two new ones there. So it doesn't matter what Mike wants.
That's been refuted.
What do you mean?
That it's not a fact that we don't have enough judges. It's
the fact that
the cases weren't taken to them. And Kevin's getting to the bottom of that. He's wanting to have a meeting with all the players, and that should be interesting. But I wanted to get back to this. What Mike Johnson wants to do is have an alternative custody program to where if you your third one strikes, so to speak, your third one is a misdemeanor, you can go to this alternative custody program, and they're going to get you clean if you need to be rehabbed, and they're going to get you counseling if you're not got to be counseled, and they're going to try and teach you a trade. And it sounds a lot like his life program when we had Measure A, or his wheel. The thing is, he doesn't seem to want a jail. But at the end of the day, we can't afford a jail either, so he's not out of line there. This is what he comes up with, because we can't afford a jail. And his program identifies different properties around town that are available, that could be available, and he's got one picked out down by Haven Humane that's 90 acres. And his thoughts are is they can take about half of it and build this alternative program, alternative custody, and set all the infrastructure and everything for a jail when we get the proceeds for it. 8-10 years down the road, whatever it may be. Which is a good idea.
Well,
but at the same time, say somebody comes and steals my car.
Yeah.
And it's not insured. They come and steal it. They take off and police chase them. They wreck it. They crash somebody else's vehicle. Guess who's responsible for those costs?
You are.
I am.
Yep. Welcome to California.
But they're going to rehab him and get him a job. And that's another thing. I went with this gal when I was about 25 or so, and her ex-husband was in prison. He got sent away for, I don't know, 8 or 10 years. He was a heroin addict, a criminal. He had a little daughter. He never paid a cent of child support. And he was due to get out. And I said, Judy, what's he going to do when he gets out? Is he coming back here? Oh, no. He's got a $45,000 job waiting for him welding up in Seattle. Mm-hmm. Well, at the time, I was falling timber making $25,000 a year.
Yeah.
And I've never been in trouble. And that leaves a sour taste in my mouth about rehabbing these people that have raised havoc in our community.
Absolute hell.
Giving them good jobs.
Yep.
Competing against private people. One of these programs is cutting firewood. He's already got it lined up to bring in logs from the mills and stuff. And, you know, there's people that make a living cutting firewood.
Yep.
So you're teaching these guys. I'm probably going to buy them a pickup and sawhorse to get them going. And there's other programs. So, you know, I will support this, holding my nose, because it's the only alternative we've got.
Well, I think I got to say, I have issues with Johnson, but I think the man is trying because he is on a limited budget. It's, you know, you only have $1, and they're spending 99.9 cents, and he's being told to go spend $2, and their money's not there. And he's actually proposed having the city of Reading, the city of Anderson, and the county all work together. And the city of Reading, city of Anderson just keep kicking the can down the road because they don't want to pay for the jail, so they don't actually offer any kind of money into that.
The city owns that 90 acres down there, and they're going to want to be paid for it. I think they ought to give it to them.
They shouldn't be paid for nothing. It's your property. It's my property. We're the taxpayers.
The thing is, 80% of our jail visitors are from the city of Reading. And the prosecution, the public defense, every expense that goes with it is shoved up on the county.
Yep. That's my point.
And that was my point. You're stealing my point
again.
Well,
I steal your points all
the time. We'll take a survey on this.
But no, but that's my point is he keeps, you know, he has put out there one of his, I think it was a decent proposal, is the fact that, you know, having law enforcement from all the local organizations provide, you know, policing at the jail, sharing, you know, an Anderson PD does 1 or 2 days a week or something like that.
Oh, they wouldn't get on.
They didn't want any of that.
Oh, no.
And that's why, you know, this playing down in between Reading and Anderson, I think, actually has some merit, because you could then argue that we're bringing the prisoner or the criminals closer to Anderson, so now they're going to start to see that when they do something in Anderson, they get dropped off in Reading.
That's another thing. He wants a booking place down there instead of taking them to the main jail to get booked.
Yeah.
If they're one of these minor misdemeanor fellers, they can go down there and get booked, and that's going to save a lot of transportation.
Well, Anderson gets the claim that they've got, you know, they've cleaned everything up. Well, they get to everything cleaned up because they arrest them down there. They bring them 8 miles north, drop them off to us, and then when they get released, which they will, they're in Reading. They're not in Anderson. And so we get stuck with the Anderson riffraff.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Unless one of the police officers, when he gets done with his paperwork, is kind enough to give him a ride back home.
Well, you know,
another thing, these offenders have to be held until they're, I don't know, looked over to see if they can be released or not.
Well,
they can't just book them and turn them out and say, you show up here. So that's going to require them to be booked into the jail and one of the felons to be released.
Well, you know, here's the thing. It's not a little secret. Here's the big secret, and this has been proven time after time, study after study for the decades. The recidivism rate of people who go to prison is above 90%. So that means less than 1 out of 10 people actually kind of change their
life. Mike Johnson's program's going to alleviate that. Every one of these people are going to join society and start paying taxes.
Well, I think they should also have to pay back their victims, is what I think they should have to do.
Absolutely.
But, you know, so we're going to
spend. But this is the only alternative we've got.
Well, I know. And we're going to spend all this money for people who are going to, statistically speaking, go back to exactly what they did to get there. We just need to lock them up.
I agree with you. And
you can teach.
You know what created this problem is Christian Schrader and Leonard Modi. They teamed up together, and I was told by a confidential source, and I think this is going to come out here within a week or two, that the city of Reading took $27 million with the agreement they would take in out-of-town homeless.
Oh.
Probably and or parolees about 5 years ago. That's Christian Schrader and Leonard Modi's time.
Yeah.
I remember seeing them talking together, and I hitchhiked on their conversation. I heard Christian say, there's $100 million, and we need to get some of that. And I'm going, you know, Leonard's supposed to be a police officer and a conservative. What's he dealing with her for? And then
he soiled his sheets.
Paletti, Rob Paletti, came in, and he wanted to clean up the homeless.
Yep, I like Rob.
And Rob said 20% of the homeless are creating 80% of the crime.
Yep.
Leonard didn't like that. Leonard was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. I bet he's never had a job in the private sector. And, you know, those people always lean towards liberalism.
Yep.
But he's smart enough to tell people he's a conservative and they believe him.
Well, you look at a lot of the local Republicans
so that's the same way. That's why he got Paletti fired.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you'll notice since then, and I don't have anything bad to say about our police chiefs, but in my opinion, they haven't been able to control the crime and the homeless the way they would like to.
No, and, you know, the problem is I won't blame our law enforcement. I mean, you know, those guys are out there working.
They've got to do what they're told to do.
Well, not only that, but you got the, you know, everything comes from Sacramento. And because everything comes from Sacramento, there are certain things you can, you can't do, you can't arrest, you can't do. They pretty much are being told to go out and do a job that they're not actually able to do. And that's a tough gig. I mean, we went to that meeting on Monday, that was a small group. And there was like 1,000, interactions of the local Reading police with homeless people, and not one case had been filed based on that 1,000 contacts. So the police know, they go out, they come across homeless Joe or hooker Susie, nothing's going to happen if they write the citation or whatever. And I mean, I don't begrudge them. It's a tough gig.
Well, there was 102,000 calls for service last year on the Reading Police Department. And I asked a police officer what do you think those involved homeless, 50%? He said, no, more than that. So we've got the homeless creating 60,000-70,000 calls for service.
Yep.
A year.
Yep. And now with the Proposition 36, that number is probably going to go up because now they can actually be held accountable, air quotes, folks, held accountable, but there's no place to put them, and Bridget's not prosecuting, so what's the point?
Yes, well, see, this is the reason he likes this alternative corrections and rehabilitation campus is because it's a lot cheaper than housing them. If you have to house them, the price goes up astronomically. For the ones he's got down here at Brewerizer, they're spending...
Breslauer.
They're spending $3.6 million already. And this, he didn't have an estimate how much more this would cost. He said he could service at least, if he had to, 500 inmates down on that 90 acres.
Oh, wow.
So it's going to cost a heck of a lot more. And he kind of referred to as grants will come along to build a jail sooner or later. Let's get ready for that other clip because we're running out of time. This is Chief Johnson.
Finishing up.
And work done. But we don't run specific programs that teach them a trade or a skill. And that's where I want to go with this eventually. Excuse me. So the objective of this presentation is to create a campus that is large enough to accommodate a robust and diverse alternative custody program serving low-level and non-violent offenders, which also will include mental health services, drug and alcohol treatment programs, and it's not listed here because I forgot, also education and training. That is the first objective. The second objective here is to build out an infrastructure, and you'll see this coming up in the slide, and planning space and long-term for a new correctional facility, a jail. We don't have money for a new jail. We don't have money to expand the current jail. Have I said that already? I'm trying to drive that home. But I guarantee you folks, whether it's 1, 3, 5, 10 years down the road, money's going to come available, whether that's through a sales tax, through the state, or through the federal government. The pendulum will swing again, and there will be money come available. We as a community have to plan for that, have the site all laid out and ready to go when that eventually happens.
That's
right,
a good idea.
We need a place to send criminal offenders and hold them accountable, and that place is the alternative custody program.
So if you've got a criminal offender that's homeless, what are you going to do, have him there in the day and drop him off under a bush at night?
Well, and I don't want to disagree with the sheriff, but there is no money. We are flat broke. We are completely broke. We've got $36 trillion in federal debt that they acknowledge, and it goes way past that on entitlements. There is no money. California is hundreds of billions of dollars in the red. There is no money, folks.
And City of Redding also just said $5 million, I think,
yeah,
deficit.
Yeah. And we're taxed. I mean, in California, it takes you almost 7 months to hit what's called tax day. The rest of the nation, sometime early May, because we've got so much taxes, it takes us to almost the end of June before we actually, air quote, start to work for ourselves. There is no money. That's the problem. And until we start figuring that out and cutting government and all the mooches that are on it, the reality is, this problem is not going away, and we're not getting to jail. There's just no money.
City of Redding setting us up for a 1 cent sales tax, 1% sales tax. And they're doing that by pointing out what street they're having surveys. What streets do you think have priority to getting fixed? And they're pointing out all the bad streets that they haven't kept the maintenance on because they had to pay $25 million PERS liabilities this year, along with the county had to pay the same amount. That's a lot of services right there.
That's a lot of streets that could have been fixed.
They are pointing out buildings that are blighted. Which ones need to be fixed first? The Raley's building down here, the Shopko building up there. Which one would you prefer? With this tax, we could fix it. I'm thinking, well, that's another Redding private partnership where the Redding pays for it and the partner owns it and Redding doesn't get any benefits, kind of like these K2 buildings.
Yep. I know. Speaking of K2, now that you brought it up, you know, I wouldn't mind the private-public partnership, but we should be getting a share of the profit for the entire time. And when it sells, we should get the profit, and we don't get it. So us putting tax money into fixing our old Raley's or whatever, get out of it. Let the private sector do it. It does it better, more efficient, faster, and will make positive impact versus it being government bureaucrats. Because that's the thing they're talking about, those fires, Nick, is these folks, these liberal blue, deep blue folks down in L.A., and I'm sorry for their loss, but they're now going to get to deal with the hell they've created, including the Coastal Commission. I would be surprised if there's a nail on a piece of wood in the next 2.5 to 3 years.
And that's another thing. You know, they passed a law in California. If you lose your home to fire and it's not replaced in 2 years, you lose your tax status from your old home.
Oh, and that's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, on some of those homes, you know, they cost $1 million when they bought them 80 years ago, and now they're worth 25. Wait till they replace it. Can you imagine what the tax bill is on, say, a $20 million house?
Oh, no. No, I can't. I remember reading about some of the rich people, and I use rich because, you know, they're famous, and they were bitching about they were paying $40,000 a year in homeowners insurance. Yeah, but you're insuring a freaking $15 million house. It's all relative. You know, here we've got a $300,000 house, and you're paying $1,500. We'll increase that to $20 million. $40,000 is probably pretty much on line with what we pay. It's just a higher number.
And then your taxes on top of that.
Oh. Oh, I don't make that kind of money, so I don't have to worry about that problem. I'm not a one percenter. But you are, Nick. You drive an old Toyota, so you are a one percenter, obviously.
That's right. 1% of the bottom. The bottom 1%.
I didn't say which direction. Well, now, Nick, we're closing in the next 3 minutes, and tomorrow's a big day.
Oh, boy.
Big day.
A lot of the radical groups promised to riot in, I think, about 60 cities.
Well, I sure, you know what? I hope they do. I hope they do, and I hope now they all get held accountable, arrested, and they go to prison for long terms, and they'll either sit there on their asses realizing that the idea of you can go damage other people's property was probably not a good one. Because, you know, there are so many things that Biden and his crew have done treason-wise, absolute treason, treasonous, that are planted and are about to start hitting. So Trump has his hands full. They have done as much as they can to Trump-proof what's coming at our direction.
Oh, gosh, and collapse our nation at the same time.
That's what I'm saying, treason, absolute treason, and I hope they go after those folks.
And then we got Sanctuary Oregon, where they're telling all of the government employees how to fight deportation of the
California
illegals.
Just allocated $50 million, $50 million that we don't have to Trump-proof, to fight Trump initiatives.
Can you imagine that a state is saying publicly they're going to allocate $50 million to fight the president?
That's pathetic, you know. But building bridges, we're going to build bridges, only one-way bridges to their side.
Yeah, that's it. There is no bipartisan when it comes to
liberals.
Yeah,
liberals are blue gums. Can't kill them.
Yeah. No, they...
You can't kill a blue gum.
No, they... This tomorrow's a big day. I mean, at least it's not camel getting in there. But, folks, it's going to get bumpy. So put on the seatbelts because it's going to get rough.
Yeah, it's not going to be come by off from day one, the minute he takes office. But a lot of things are going to get straightened out. I've got big expectations from Kash Patel.
Yeah, I'm hopeful. Let me qualify. I am hopeful, but I'm also realistic. So, Nick, I think we're at the end of our day.
We had a fun show today. Have a good week.
See you in 2 weeks.
Mom said, sell it to the circus. What the heck? Dad said, nope. This one's a pencil man.
The News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.